And hey, folks, thanks so much for joining me today. My name is Joey Hernandez. You know, we all try to be good, don't we? We try to listen and take the advice of our doctors. We tune our televisions into medical shows such as Dr. Oz or The Doctors or even Dr. Phil in hopes of improving our physical and mental health. But back when I was younger, it was a bit easier. Maybe once every few years, you might hear of a change in guidelines by one of the major organizations, such as the American Heart Association. And you would probably hear that information once, take it to heart for a moment, and then you'd... Oh, it's cute. I said the American Heart Association and take it to heart. Clever boy that I am. But that information wouldn't stay with us very long, and then something else would attract our attention and we'd probably forget what we had heard about, unless it was mentioned more in school. And if you are a parent, you may know that your child coming home from school and saying, "Hey, you know what? We heard that we should do things this way instead of the way we've been doing them." Well, that can often fall on deaf ears. I've told the story before of being completely exasperated a few years ago. I went into my personal doctor after working quite hard on my diet. I really was working on my diet, and I was trying to bring my cholesterol and triglycerides down. And I went in and I had my lab report explained to me. And surprisingly, and not in a good way, there was very little change. I had at that point been a strict vegetarian for about a year and a half. That meant that I did not ingest any animal products. Not only did I not eat meat, poultry, eggs, and fish, but I had no dairy at all. I lived my life basically eating 10 to 12 servings of vegetables and fruits per day, a moderate amount of complex carbohydrates, such as heart-healthy oatmeal, protein sources from legumes and tofu and other soy products. I also limited my fats to heart-healthy olive oil and a cholesterol-lowering margarine called Benecol. It was honestly one of the healthiest and most nutritious eating plans that one could ingest. But let me interject the fact that for most people in the world, if they ate this kind of diet that I just described, they would have very low cholesterol. But because of my personal family history and genetics, high cholesterol and triglycerides run high in my family. It killed my father at age 52 and my oldest brother at age 46. So I was fighting an uphill battle. But nonetheless, I knew that by making these changes, it would at least be a fair amount of reduction in my LDL, the bad, cholesterol. There just had to be after all this time. Yet there wasn't. And so my doctor suggested that I eliminate the olive oil and cholesterol-lowering margarine and try to eliminate coffee, which I was only drinking black with nothing else in it. I didn't put cream in it. I didn't put milk. I didn't put sugar in it. It was just plain black coffee. I couldn't believe my ears. And I got rather upset about that suggestion because I was being so good and eliminating so many things that I knew perfectly well that the average person would never have been willing to completely abstain from these things. And I think the thing that bothered me probably the most was there was no sense of congratulations to me for working as hard as I already had. I've been a patient of my doctor for 25 years. We have been at social gatherings at the same time. And I've watched what he eats. And I can assure you that based on what I saw, he would definitely have to struggle in order to eat such a strict diet that I had already successfully accomplished. So at that point, I became so exasperated that I raised my voice slightly and said, "Well, why don't you just tell me to only eat water? You know, just drink and survive on water. Oh, but not tap water because of the impurities, though. Oh, and not bottled water because it lacks fluoride to prevent cavities. Oh, and not rain water because of the acid rain content. I am running out of things to eat. And now comes some new information from the World Health Organization that will rock your world. My name is Joey Hernandez, and this is What Can We Eat? Episode number 79 of the Life After 30 podcast.
Bacon there in that bag!
Who wants a bacon strip?
Me, I get it myself, but I don't have some. Nom, 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 it's bacon! I love you. I love bacon, I love you. I love bacon, I love you. I love bacon, I love you.
Yes, we do try our best, but then there's bacon. Okay, let's start this out by talking about research in general. One of the most frustrating aspects that's resulted from the literally life-altering internet is that as websites try to obtain your viewership, all that has to happen is that some small, insignificant study done under quite possibly less than stellar controls, is mentioned somewhere and it begins to snowball. Larger and larger sites pick up the, quote, data as gospel, and probably don't do much research on the quality of the study, and so some unscientific knowledge begets the headline, "New cure for cancer within a year," says an expert. We've seen it with many diseases. HIV has had so many, quote, breakthroughs that are the key to the cure, it's pointless to even count anymore. Media is so intent on getting the scoop that they rush to conclusions. Just remember the times the media has claimed a win for a politician just to have to then turn around and renege that story within a few minutes because they jump too fast. And so it is with food. Eggs were a great food when we were growing up in the early part of the 20th century. Then eggs were bad because of cholesterol. But then eggs were good again because their cholesterol particles were so large they couldn't penetrate into the cell. Then, no, that's not right. Eggs are bad. Then eggs are good. Bad. Good. Bad. To be honest with you, I'm not even sure where we are with this today. And through this whole mix comes the influential money from the companies whose business is from that particular product. We would never have heard the name Dr. Phil if Oprah hadn't been sued by the beef industry in 1998. A show topic about mad cow disease resulted in Oprah claiming she would no longer eat beef, and it snowballed into millions of food buying and preparing housewives boycotting beef, to the point where the beef industry brought legal proceedings against her and her show. Dr. Phil, by the way, was one of her psychological counselors in Texas where the trial was held, and that led him to appearing regularly on her show and then eventually onto his own show. So it's difficult when you try so hard, yet you have conflicting data coming at you every day. And so, this brings us to the latest earthquake in the health and nutrition field. On October 26th of this year, a research division of the World Health Organization, also known as WHO, announced that bacon, sausage, and other processed meats were bad. But not saturated fat, cholesterol-building, heart-dangerous bad. No. They stated that bacon and sausages and other processed meats, most likely also including red meat in general, cause cancer. Yes, cancer. But of course, don't forget the also aforementioned heart killer aspects of these foods. So basically, when death comes a-calling, he's going to be wearing Lady Gaga's meat dress. That's how bad it's gotten. This is a major, major announcement. The first of this kind from such an influential group. However, we can expect a strong criticism and dialogue that will be ongoing for many years. Because if you think we panic just a bit about such information, just imagine the behind-the-doors reaction at food companies. Dr. Phil, you might get some more consultation work. Now, these kinds of studies that the World Health Organization cites are difficult at best. One would need to control the diets of thousands over a long period of years, perhaps even decades, and the amount of meat given to different control groups is, well, let's say, difficult to control. So finding test subjects for these experiments becomes increasingly expensive. So other indirect methods of epidemiological studies are used in providing for these findings. The WHO panel cites studies that suggested that consuming 3.5 ounces of red meat per day raises the risk of cancer, specifically colorectal cancer, by about 17%. Consuming 1.8 ounces of processed meat each day also raises the risk by 17%. Some, perhaps even many of you listening, will think that that 17% risk compared to the enjoyment of your favorite foods might be a risk you're willing to take. After all, we hear of many things we do and consume that are bad for our health, and while some do completely stop, whatever that risk factor is, others will continue for a time to reduce that food or activity, and some who just believe that all of life is a roll of the dice, so why not enjoy it? Sometimes, you know, in the most frustrating parts, when you're trying to eat healthy and it just, things aren't pulling together for you, just like those blood numbers I was talking about, the cholesterol numbers, yeah, sometimes you can just believe, hey, you know what, everything's going to kill us eventually anyway, so why not have a good time while you're doing it? The World Health Organization cites that approximately 34,000 cancer deaths per year worldwide are attributed to diets high in processed meats. And again, some may find that horrifying, and others will simply shrug their shoulder and go, 34,000 worldwide? That really isn't that much. Red meat consists of beef, veal, pork, lamb, mutton, and goat. And I have to say, I don't think I've eaten mutton or goat, although goat cheese is awesome. Processed meats include hot dogs, sausages, ham, and corned beef. And included also are any meats that have been cured, smoked, salted, or otherwise changed to enhance flavor or improve preservation. Now, not all health organizations, including those considered at the top of the echelon, are on board with the WHO findings. The American Cancer Society notes that studies have shown a, quote, link between eating red meat and cancer, but restrict their warning to that level and do not actually state it causes cancer. The U.S. government's dietary guidelines for Americans go a bit further and state, moderate evidence suggests an association between increased consumption of processed meats to increases in the risk of colorectal cancer and also heart disease. However, they don't step up to the plate and actually say that processed meats cause cancer. It's a slim differentiation, but I'm sure that the potential for legal action might have some effect that keeps them a bit conservative until more information is gathered, and that's going to take years. So, all that bad information, where is the light at the end of the tunnel? What can we do about all this thrilling death warning information? I personally am lucky in that I don't eat processed meats because I find the sodium level, the saltiness of it, used for the preservation to affect the taste too much. Bacon, that bacon time, No, not really. It's okay. If it happens to be served on a plate with a meal I might order out, I'll taste it, but it stops there. Just all that fat and stuff. Yuck. But my own personal downfall is red meat. Because I cook the majority of my meals, when I eat out, I try to have the foods that I don't feel I cook as good as a restaurant would. So my primary go-to food is always steak. Growing up like I did after my father died, my mother took me out to dinner quite a lot. I think it's because she felt bad that this 12-year-old kid lost his father, and so therefore we went out a lot, and we always went to the best restaurants. My father had always worked 3 jobs and had put quite a bit of money aside. So I was introduced to filet mignon at age 12, and it still remains my favorite. Filet is lower in fat. However, that isn't going to help me much with this cancer information. And since my wedding was just over 2 weeks ago, we ended up going out a lot with visiting friends and family, and I chose filet mignon quite often. But starting last New Year's Eve, I not only stopped alcohol, except for the 2 glasses of champagne and the shot of vodka I had at my wedding. Other than that, no alcohol. I also started to order fish more frequently at restaurants, because that's also something I never really quite got right when I would cook myself. And it would smell up the house, and if I'm going to eat fish, I might as well do it out in a restaurant. But honestly, this warning is literally taken to heart. Burgers will become turkey burgers for me instead of beef burgers, and I will limit my steaks to no more than 6 a year or so. And trust me, for that amount, that's a big drop for me. Now, for those of you who might purchase those packaged meats like bologna and hot dogs and those other things that are kept in the refrigerated sections of the supermarket, well, I'm going to be really honest. Between the chemicals to preserve it, the fat content, and now a potential cancer risk, I personally wouldn't take the chance, especially if your family has a history of colorectal cancer or if you yourself has had any kind of cancer. Why take the risk? It's not that it's even that great tasting of food. Instead, why not purchase a little less, because it's going to be a little bit more expensive, and go to the deli counter and get some fresh sliced meats. Turkey and chicken can be foods that are at least minimally having things done to them. Yes, it's more expensive, but it tastes better, and you could potentially live longer so you can enjoy your life. It's not a guarantee, but why not make just a few small changes to move towards better health? Because if you're participating in the 10-week weight loss diet, we're trying to get you to eat better. So this is a smart move. Better yet, increase your fish. I've never been fond of fish. If you listen to my podcast, I say that endlessly. I think that people that eat sushi are like minions of the devil or something. I just can't imagine eating the raw fish. I have tried it. I'm not going to put something down and say, oh, I'm not going to, you know, even taste that. I've tasted it, and I've tasted it like maybe once a year. I'll be like, okay, maybe my life has changed, and maybe suddenly raw fish is just going to be a great thing. And I'll put it in my mouth and I can't even swallow it. Sushi is completely lost on me. But I have to admit that fish is growing on me, as in cooked fish. I kinda like it, kinda, sorta. Is it a sizzling beef burger? No. But it might give me even one extra year of life. And now that I'm married, I'd kinda like to enjoy some of married life for a few years. Folks, making dietary adjustments can be very difficult. There is the school of thought of everything in moderation. But to me, that doesn't give enough specifics. Moderation in bread might be a maximum of 4 slices per day, but moderation in red meat might be 1 per month. No one is giving definitive guidelines for what moderation for each food means. And let's face it, when we're left to our own desires, we will try to push up the moderate amount on those things we love. So where is the sense in that? That doesn't work for me. I feel that this new information, when compiled with the previous information about the dangers of high cholesterol and saturated fats, is going to help me personally stay away from processed meats and red meats more easily. For many people, moving from the packaged processed meats to a higher quality deli selection, that's going to be an easy and rewarding step. I think for most, the thought of bacon as extra evil now, that's going to be the roadblock. Let me just say this. If you are going to continue to eat some of these foods, be smart about it. Be cautionary about it. Get colonoscopies on time and do any follow-up when necessary. Listen to your doctor. If something is questionable, err on the side of caution. Don't let your love of one stupid food put you in a risk category. My thanks to the Washington Post for some of the information in today's podcast. So today brings us to the 8-week point in our 10-week diet. By now, if you're following it, you're starting to find it a little difficult to stay strong on course. If you've been losing some weight but aren't quite at the level you want to be, moving into these last 2 weeks is a great time to buckle down and make those small adjustments to your diet that you might have been being a bit relaxed on up to this point. Let's finish big. Thanksgiving is only a few weeks away, and you know, you want to look good for the holidays. So focus on that. Let your imagination wander and picture yourself looking great during these celebrations. Because you will look great if you've been consistently chipping away the body fat off your body. And you will be able to have a bit more indulgences once the holidays hit. A bit more indulgences. Bit more. They say you are what you eat. Let's not be a brown, shriveled, fat-dripping piece of pig fat laying on a paper towel. My thanks to the iTunes people for tuning in and giving me some traffic and listening to the various episodes on iTunes. Thank you so much. If you feel so inclined, please give me a 5-star rating. I would really appreciate it. Meanwhile, my name is Joey Hernandez, and this has been the 79th episode of the Life After 30 podcast. Please listen back to some of the older episodes when you get a chance. Do remember, though, that my podcast has changed formats and you're going to hear various intro music. Just get through that crap and you'll hear the good stuff later. As always, please subscribe to the podcast. My disclaimer follows, ears up if you haven't heard it before. I'll talk to you all very soon. Thank you so much for joining me. Bye for now. Hey, folks, Joey Hernandez here of the Human Construction Site podcast, and this is a pre-recorded disclaimer that I'm going to insert into each episode of the podcast. So please give me just a moment of your listening time and listen to this disclaimer. First of all, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to listen to the Human Construction Site podcast. I hope that the information that you receive from the podcast is unique and useful to you in your quest to live a healthier and more vibrant life. I have been a personal trainer for over 30 years. This podcast and the Human Construction Site blog that it is tied to are based on my opinions and my experience working with clients all these years. I am not a doctor. I ask that any and all information that you receive from me, as well as anywhere else on the internet or on TV or on websites, books, wherever the source, that you discuss that and review it with your personal physician before implementing any kind of lifestyle changes. Your doctor knows you best. He or she knows your personal medical history, knows your medications, your family's history, and together, you with your physician should have a dialogue to ensure that any changes are right for you. So please, 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 please consult your doctor. Thank you.